de cinta recta from here. Let's start with introducing ourselves. And while we're waiting for two members to form a quorum, I'll start with honorable members to introduce, including our special delegate. I'm Jess Massimo, Chief Recon of Social Services. I represent the province called Northwest. I'll hand over to Honorable Solo.
My friend is Solo. I'm a member of this committee. I am
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning. I'm also from the most beautiful province in the country. I'm Mr. Van Poort, also a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure about the status of my program, but I'm from Eastern Cape. My name is Mike Pasoko.
Thank you. You come back to us.
Good morning, my name is Kujima Sago, an official of the Department of Health.
Morning, it's David Baber. I'm the Deputy Chairperson from the Central Drug Authority.
Good morning, Nitesh Ramji from Philip Morris, South Africa.
Good morning, Anston from Anston and Associates.
Good morning, the Dateliner from Anston and Associates.
Good morning, Bernstein Smith from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Morning, Francois van der Merwe, Tobacco Institute of South Africa. Thank you very much.
Morning, Ken. Terry Gilbert from British American Tobacco.
Thank you, Terry. You don't have a
seat. I'll be all right, ma'am.
Come inside. You must sit.
Then I might have to vote.
We'll get the stairs from inside.
No, I'm parliamentary. Oh.
No, let them go in.
Good morning. My name is Mungi. Oh. Good morning. My name is Mungi Herman from British American Tobacco.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Florie from Crown BAC.
Good morning, I'm Yuna from Sales from the Tobacco Institute of South Africa.
Good morning, my name is Nexile Masego, CDA, Central Drug Authority.
Number of other problems that arose out of the implementation of the Act. So therefore, the bill here is aimed at closing those loopholes. And also that we want to use these amendments to align the existing Act with the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, because South Africa, as the Council and the Department, actually ratified, you know, and is a member of the COP, and the Parliament of South Africa in 2005 ratified the FCCC. So therefore, the purpose is for us to have one look at the loopholes, and also to make sure that this proper alignment between the existing Act and the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. Let me stop at that step, and otherwise I'll then go into the body of the Act. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Director Maroni from Health. We've got 7 panel mandates from the provinces. We are still waiting for Free State and Western State. But because with 6 provinces, the formal quorum will continue. We've got a special delegate from Eastern Cape. May you read the final mandate for Eastern Cape. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ladies and gentlemen, after following all the processes of taking the bill to the people and the airbound, as demanded by the Constitution of the Council, and also after considering the comments of the Department from our submission as the province, we resolve to vote for the adoption of the bill without amendments that will alter the principle of the bill. But however, as the province, we are of the view that tobacco industry should at least be allowed conduct with individual consenting adults. Chairperson, this is our final submission of the province, and we hope that the honorable members here will support our position, which we believe we are moving to the right direction. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable member. Followed by Gauteng. Chairperson, the Gauteng has tabled its final voting mandate as well. That the last meeting on the 16th of September, the committee considered and adopted the final mandate on Tobacco Products Control Amendment Act. And they noted the financial implications, Chairperson, that they will have positive financial implications for the state in terms of additional revenue that will be generated as a result of the prohibition of duty-free and tax-free sales. With regards to the assessment of the social impact on the bill, the committee envisaged and confirmed by the department that the bill will serve to protect the health of the public through department health promotion activities that aims to discourage people from smoking. And that separates in their final position that was adopted by the committee in terms of Section 75 of the Constitution. The Health Portfolio Committee recommends that the Gauteng Provincial Permanent Delegate vote in favor. Thank you. Thank you very much, Permanent Delegate from Gauteng, Honorable Mazibuko. Now followed by Limpopo. No. Special Delegate from KZN.
The Provincial Standing Committee on following the other processes meetings and Provincial Standing Committee on National Council of Provinces met on the 19th of September 2008 to consider their final mandate on the Tobacco Products Control Amendment Bill. The committee noted the agreed amendments in the draft minutes of the select committee of the 9th September 2008, and that no amended bill containing these amendments had been received by the province for their consideration. Therefore, the committee unanimously agreed not to confer its final voting mandate, until the bill is amended in accordance with the agreed amendment as presented to the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Special Delegate from KZN, followed by Limpopo, Permanent Delegate. Honorable Tete.
Yeah, I think that. Thank you, Chairperson. The mandates that they come from Limpopo, they have also included the public hearings, but I'll go to the recommendations that have actually flown from there. That says part of the recommendations that the bill should consider the economic position, such as loss of employment due to cutting and decision in promotion by specific companies. The bill should have the provision of tightening of border control to keep tobacco trafficking from other countries. Those who are found...
We are considering the final mandate. If a province that was found to be there to propose a concrete proposal, let me make a concrete amendment proposal. Not to tell us all this, because every province has had a public hearing and has had all this. So if you are going to be going through all those details, which this is not going to finish, then we get the final mandate, what you see that they are saying.
My reading tells me these are the mandates from Limpopo, and I can't change anything that Limpopo has actually done. I'm not really sitting there, the MPL, doing the same. So I'm reading what the province has actually come up. And I suppose, Jefferson, that these are the issues that are there. They are bringing the attention of the committee. Unless the Jefferson rules otherwise, I am just here to present what the province feels that should be presented. So I can't change things.
We're not saying about changing things. We're saying let him read the final mandate, not all those that introduction, all those things that he's reading here. This stuff that I don't know who is doing over there. But let him read the final mandate. There is the conclusion. It's the final mandate of the project, not all these other things.
Just leave the honorable member to read the mandate from the Honorable
Member. Thank you, Jefferson, for that procedure. I really appreciate it. The province also feels that there has to be the penalty should be stringent. Essentially imposed on those who violate the provision of the legislation.
I don't see one page final mandate from
the book. Yes, I'm reading, unless it's for a different document.
No, has it been from the book? Is the one you're having?
Yes, I'm on page 2 of that.
Read only the page 1 where Honorable
Farouk
signed. Only one page.
So I think you're agreeing with the proposal from Mr. Tolley. That's what you say, Chester.
I'm directing the meeting.
Surely, that's what I'm trying to check with you.
I'm directing the meeting.
I thought you overruled him, but indirectly.
I want you to read this page, one page where you can find.
Yeah, okay.
What they say.
I'm saying.
No, let's not cross the dialogue. Yes, they say the House seller resolved to offer a final mandate to the commission in the permanent
meeting.
I want you to read this copy.
I'm checking with you. You have overruled your personal.
Honorable. Member, with respect, read only one thing.
I, Chairperson, I'm trying to bring to attention what you meant by the ruling. I'm saying, are you changing the ruling?
Yes.
If that is the case, then say to me you are changing the ruling, because exactly what Tolo has actually saying, you overruled me, but you are saying the same thing now.
I'm attempting to read this one thing for you.
Chairperson,
which one is it?
Chairperson, you mean the one dated the 17th of September?
Yes,
Yeah, I can volunteer to read it for the meeting. Yeah, well, we can't be held up by unnecessary arguments.
I've been given this packet by the office. And I was just
saying... No, not which office, because our secretary's office is the one that has been the final.
Yes, I'm reading the document that I've been given by office.
Unless we
can
volunteer, can we have the money from the
corporate? The very same thing that
is
would
say, he must read his body in
the budget. May I now read it?
Can you read it? The mandate is this one. He hopes he doesn't want to read that.
Okay, just a second. Well, it's normal. It's a normal thing that happens from province to province. Let's not go into that. Chairperson, kindly be informed that the Limpopo legislature has at its sitting held on Tuesday, in September, at the Lewakhumu legislature chamber, adopted the report of the Portfolio Committee on Health and Social Development on the Tobacco Products Control Amendment Bill. The House further resolved to confer a final mandate to the provincial NTOP permanent delegates to vote in favor of the bill. The report of the Portfolio Committee is forwarded here with for your easy reference. Thank you.
Thank you,
Emma.
Permanent delegate from the Portfolio. We have just received the mandate from Free State, but for now, let me welcome the Honorable Sitona from Free State, the member of this committee, and Honorable Suluman from Northern Cape, the member of this committee, and also the whip of this committee. I'll give this opportunity to permanent delegates from Mpumalanga, to reach Mpumalanga. Final mandate.
The final mandate is of Mpumalanga says that the permanent delegate of the province of Mpumalanga are conferred with the mandate to vote in favor of this piece of legislation.
Are you reading from the mandate or are you just telling
I'm speaking to the
That was progressive.
Let's hear from Northwest. Who is going to read Northwest for us? Another permanent delegate is not here.
Northwest. Chairperson. The Northwest mandate dated the 15th of September. In summary, it says the committee, having considered the bill, resolved to accept and support the bill.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member Bensu. I'm going now back to Free State Permanent Delegate. Are you ready, Honorable
Chairperson, very brief. It says the committee considered the bill and resolution is that the committee supports the bill as amended by the NTOP. I don't know when the NTOP is. Maybe it was not part of the last meeting. That belongs to the committee. Thank you, Mr. But that is the mandate for my problem. They support the bill.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member Kenyan Delegate. We are now going to do North Cup. Honorable
and Chairperson, the committee considered the minutes of the Select Committee on Social Services and the responses from the Department on Health on the said bill, and the Standing Committee in the province accepts the responses and supports the bill. And
thank you very much, Western Cape didn't send a final mandate. So we got eight.
We are having aid where we qualify to go on. Honorable Lagoon, is it a mandate case?
There's a precedent. If promises for whatever reason
are not able to meet the deadline that have been agreed to, they go through the normal process, just in case it has been called on attack, to ask for extension and whatever. And this is what we could have debated. So I'm therefore moving to chairperson that it should be on record that there's no mandate in terms of procedure, in terms of the facts before us here from the Western Cape. You know, I think we need to conclude this issue on that note. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. It's unfortunate we find ourselves not looking into the final mandate, but looking into an explanation why a certain province doesn't have a final mandate. The point is that it's not Mrs. Lamula's fault that the final mandate is not here. And she should not be emotional about that or maybe feel guilty. It's not a problem. And she should not then maybe start thinking that she's not a member of this committee. She's a member of this committee without receiving a final mandate from the province, and she should accept that whatever things are between the NCOP and the legislature, I think they must be undertaken in the formal manner which they should be undertaken. I think Mr. Stoner did speak to that, so that we rectify some of these problems. Correctly so, if a province has got a problem, they should make a formal submission to the committee. But I think we're at a point where we've got 8 final mandates from provinces, which we should then consider how do they take this committee forward in terms of passing this legislation and so on. And the other matters can be looked at maybe at a later stage and so on. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, it goes back to my request. Let the permanent delegate formally be given the place, the stage to explain. Mandates are not there, but I think as a member representing that particular province, matters relating to this particular case, from that province, she should be able to speak to them. And based on what Honorable Zuduna and BB has just said, then as a commission, this is the
Honorable Ventford.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I'm saying that allow the member formally to put the matter of the Western Cape on the table, and the committee will then take a decision based on that. It is my request. And whatever the member has said, has not been said, didn't say it, having been given an opportunity to speak. It was some emotional aspect because he was denied the right to speak. And I'm requesting that she be given that right to speak, and this committee, having a member that said whatever they say, will take a decision about the Western Cape. But having the, given the member the opportunity to speak to on behalf of the province. Thank you.
I think
this is
difficult.
No.
As much as we should massage the Western Cape, as I'm listening, it is difficult.
Until the bill is amended, in accordance with the agreed amendment
as presented to the committee. Now, in the last meeting, I think there were those amendments that came up. And those amendments were then sent to the committee to say, these are the amendments. That's what are going to be effected. So, Council Natal says, until those amendments are effected, then I'm going to vote for it. I think that those amendments will be effected in the final bill. I think it's the C bill. I think that is my point here. But let's just say to our advisor to help us in this respect. Thank you.
Honorable members, all about getting the submitting those amendments here, like 1 and 8, where we want the state advisor and our
advisor. No, I'm not talking about the amendment now. I'm talking about the amendment of Council Natal.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With regard to the amendments that were proposed, convey to the meeting, to the committee, that they wanted the amendments to be incorporated in a section into the bill. We indicated that is practically impossible, because that is the process that is followed after the committee has adopted the amendment in the committee, and then we submit those amendments for the CREDA to sort of incorporate it, and in the form of a C bill, and then get a D bill. So that was clarified in the meeting last time.
Is this clear, honorable members? Let me proceed. We've got all sorts of amendments for 1 and 8. You all have this two-page document.
I might be complaining because I wasn't part of the last meeting. My reading of this clause 1, which says on page 2 after line 6 to insert, says under a substitution for the definition of advertising of the following definition. And the definition, there's no definition there. I might be lost and I need clarity. But when I read my own layman's English, I'm not a legal person. There's no definition. That is stated categorically. Unless it's a very technical legal effort. I'm reading on this page. You'll explain that to me. But yes, where I'm reading that. Thank you.
Okay,
Madam
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In fact, that's why I think what you Parliament, what Mr. Duncan said. Let me take it from there.
They came from State Law Advisor.
Can they take us on board there?
Madam, over to you.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Madam. I would like the committee to consider the bill that was the first introduced, if they do have it. And on, at the same time, have the D bill. And look at page 2 of those D bills.
The D bill.
D bill together with the first bill. The bill that was amended by D bill.
We are dealing with a bill as passed by the NAA here.
Yes.
Which one is that?
The B bill.
Yeah,
that
so
one is
the bill we are considering. No other bill before that.
Okay, I'm taking the committee back. Giving the committee the background why this is the amendment. So don't worry if you don't have that bill. But I will explain it. The proposed amendment, it's in actual fact not an amendment, it's a correction due to an error made by the typing, that is the printers, whereby they omitted that paragraph on the D bill. So that paragraph, it explains what must be done on the definition of adversity. It says it must be substituted by the new division, which is in the detail, as it is listed. Can we understand that now? It's just a sentence that is indicating when you amend a section, it's either you substitute a section or you delete that section, or you add to that section, those are the four things that you do in a section when you amend. So what is happening to section 1 is being substituted, it's substituting the definition of advertisement. So that is that instruction that is missing on the video. They omitted erroneously the printer. Otherwise, it was there in the bill that was introduced initially. So it's that instruction. Otherwise, if you read the D bill, let me just read it. It says section 1 of Tobacco Products Control Act 1993, here in after referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended by the. Yes. So it's just a correction, and it doesn't make sense with that omission, which was made by the printer. Yes.
Do you want to add?
Just to clarify the difference between an amendment and a correction. It's not something that the NFR said that is not in this book, but it's just a typing error. It's incorrect. It's nothing to do.
Can you proceed to proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At block 8, if we look at the B bill, that is block 8, on it says section 7 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 2 and subsection 3 of the following subsections, respectively. Any person who contravenes or fails to comply with section 2, subsection 5, comma, it says section 9, subsection 9, and it goes on, it says, subsection 10A or B or 11 and so forth. But if you go to these clauses that are mentioned here, they don't tally. reason being that the portfolio committee made an amendment to delete the subsection 7 on in clause 2. That clause 7 then forced the other section to move up. And then the reference in clause 8 was sort of distorted. So the amendment which is proposed here is correcting that. It is the correct reference that is being proposed here. The correction of that due to that deletion of subsection 7. Through you, Chair, anything that is done in the, it is proposed in the committee, it will be in a form of an amendment. Be it a correction or an amendment to the bill, it will be in a form of an amendment.
Thank you very much.
I just want to check for the question that has been raised by Mukesh. I'm not sure whether it's been answered. Whatever is being put here, if the NA eventually removes clause, I'm not sure if you said 7, and then automatically certain numbers actually are affected. Whether that correction as it actually came from the NCOP that were presented to the NCOP with the correct numbering, or were we presented with the wrong numbering when that bill was actually presented to us as a NCOP. Because if that is the case, then we cannot just merely say we're doing that as a group. And I think that question that is being asked is very critical, because originally, and it's a feature made in the BE7B. If that is the one that was presented coming from that side, and that was never contained as it was presented to us, then it's a new thing altogether. That perhaps when we went to the provinces to present this thing, this particular element was not there, and therefore provinces may not have considered that particular element. So I just want to really, as a follow-up.
Chair, for me, it is really not clear, because what is important is that we are amended. When this bill came from the NA, it came up with those elements. It has been implemented. Now, the state advisors have picked them up, and they are bringing them back now as amendments. And when these things were done, when after the negotiating mandate were done, these issues were sent to the provinces. So say, when you come up with your final mandate, you must consider these as well. So the provinces have had an opportunity to look at these issues that are raised here, and therefore their mandate on the basis also of these very issues that are raised here. So that's why I'm saying these are amendments that are brought in by us here. The bill, if we agree with it, we have to go back to the NDA for them to actually agree with it. Or not agree, I don't know, but we have to go back. Thank you.
All right.
The explanation given by Mr. Tolo is 100% correct, and the provinces had an opportunity, because we have sent our minutes and our report of the negotiating meeting to the respective provinces. So the provinces, based on those negotiations here, have sent us now final mandate.
Thank you very much for clarifying and looking at
I agree with everything said by Honorable Dolon, Honorable Suleiman, and Honorable Teche. Am I pronouncing it right?
Hey, you have tried your best.
Yeah, sure. But can I say, one fundamental issue. We cannot continue Chapter 7 with this kind of a mess. Cash, I don't know who's responsible for this. The social development, Dolo, you remember. I don't want to use what Deputy Minister of Justice has said. I don't want to really use this language, man, calling people names and all that. But I think we're actually being let down. No? Chapter 7, that we continue to have this problem. We thought it over. Honorable Dolo, we thought it over. You know, children's bill were in a helter situation, you know. And I'm appealing to Mukesh if it's your responsibility. Remember the meeting when we had with your boss, Advocate Denver Daniel? I thought this thing is over and it's resolved, you know. Because we really need to be we need to have clarity, Honorable Dolo. We are amending this as a substantive amendment, you know. Not to amend it because something somewhere the printer, I don't agree with the story of the printer. The printer print what is written. Finished. That's how I understand it. Unless I'm corrected twice, otherwise. Né? Or your processes are somehow, you know. Today we're dealing with this problem again. This problem will put us in a trust problem. Technically, I really don't want to go into details, but I'm saying somebody who's responsible must really correct this thing. Some of us are taking exception to this, and this is quite unacceptable, and I think we must express our views very strong on this particular practice. It's quite unacceptable, and we cannot continue like that. Thank you.
DDG, you're welcome. From Health Department, your late arrival was reported by the Chief Director. Honorable members, do you agree on the amendment? You have done page 1 and 2. Page 1, right? You have done on page 7. You have dealt with all of them.
I'll let you have one.
No, that one will check whether everything has been done. Honorable members, now we are going to read the motion of desirability.
Chair, before we do that, Chair, I just want to caution this committee that what we have experienced in the past that we have agreed now in this particular meeting with the amendments and so forth. But if we communicate this information to the province, we will have to do that because there's still going to be a final version of the bill. And the mandate that we're having here now is not based on the final version. It's a technical matter. I know some legislatures can't send a final mandate to the chamber unless they see the final draft of the bill. So I think whoever is responsible for printing the final version of the bill must do it as soon as possible and send it to all the respective provinces. I know Gauteng rules does not allow them to send a final mandate unless they see the final version of the bill for plenary purposes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that, but I think instead of delegating, I think they should the foreign.
Amanda.
Thank you very much. You'll be reading motion of disability and thereafter we'll go clause by clause. You agree? Member? Tobacco Product Control Amendment Bill B7 of 2008. That's in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to amend the Tobacco Product Control Act 1993 so as to define certain expressions and to amend certain definitions. To provide a new for the advertising, sponsorship, promotion, distribution, and information requiring respect of the packaging and
labeling of tobacco products. To make the standards that apply to manufacturers of tobacco products applicable to importers of tobacco products, to prohibit the sale of tobacco products to any person under the age of 18 years, to extend the provisions in respect of free distribution of tobacco products, to provide a loose for tobacco sales by means of vending machines, to extend the minister's power to make regulations, and to adjust the provisions in respect of offenses and penalties, and to provide for matters connected therewith, and that the bill respect to the committee be taken as a basis. Agreed? Thank you. Also, let me take this opportunity to welcome Honorable Gilagazi from KZN, the member of this committee. Mandy? Do we all have this bill? We are now going to do 4.4 B7 of 2008. Thought one? With amendment? Agree. Clause 2. Clause 3.
Agree.
Clause 4.
I just want to quickly the amendment. Are they the things that are contained in this, or are they in any other way? So that we can have the way we discuss our view.
This is for members. This is for members.
Yes, sir.
But the amendments are here will be satisfied by the state government.
Yeah, the amendments are not protected. If the bill will be protected, if the CD, that's why we are doing those ones we are agreeing to be with the amendment.
Yeah.
So that the CD will include those amendments.
Yeah.
Are you
clear,
Chief
Director?
As a clarity and a procedural issue here, once the bill that amendments are going to be in which amendments are going to propose are to be inserted, procedurally, is it ready to come to the committee again or is it something that is going to print it and go? Because as we speak now, we are not really, some amendments are here, but I just wonder if you are able to read that amendment into the bill, because I thought that those amendments that were done previously would be contained somewhere so that you can read through into the bill. Now, some of them were previously done, some of them are here, this was the idea for the problem, but the others that may come that were done previously in your city, are they kept at somewhere where we can actually look into? Or is this the only ones that are in here?
No, I'm just saying to you that these are the only amendments. There's not NUP committee, there's not detected any other amendments.
Thank you very much. Clause 4, you're done?
Yeah.
Clause 5?
Three.
Members, are you here? Are you together?
Yeah, we're here.
We are with you, Chair.
Clause 7. Clause
8.
With amendments,
yes.
Honorable member has said that, thank you,
this is an opportunity for honorable members. We are not taking from the department. Oh, that's if you are reminding them. That's perfect. Honorable members, with an amendment.
For purposes of the credibility and integrity of Parliament as a public institution. But we don't have to tie ourselves on something without certain assurance. This statement is quite loaded. It says any notice or regulation issued by the minister prior to the coming into operation of this act remains in force until amended, repealed or replaced by a notice or regulation made by the minister in terms of the principal act. The principal act is supreme, Chairperson. Delegated legislation cannot be superior. Now, what I need really, not a debate, we need assurance how far is the process of legislation lasting, you know? Because anybody can take government to court if you are acting on the basis of the regulation, and always find that those regulations are not consistent, you know, with the principal act.
Yes.
So I think really we need, I think it's about integrity, it's about nothing else. You know? Because, Ms. Mazibuko, we passed this to your cities, ne? We don't know how far the department is going to go and blah, 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 that process. Ne? And at the end of the day, we're in trouble. We're actually giving the power. This is our piece. This is Parliament, you know. So if you can get clarity on that thing, because I don't think it will be proper for us as Parliament just to pass willy-nilly on the power of the dollar. Ne?
Like,
no, it's not a blank check, really. Ne? Somebody become lax somewhere, ne? And you go and say these regulations are in force. Yeah? Cannot make, we're giving a power to say regulations are supreme than the principal act. Yeah? Unless you have clarity that there will be expeditious steps taken, yeah, to ensure that there will be no harm where there's an inconsistency between the regulations as they are now and some contents of the principal act, yeah, where a dispute may arise between the department and whatever interest groups, you know. In the enforcement of the act. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Solo. DDG, and the request of the committee always is to say, before implementing the regulation, we need a code of the committee. We still request for that. May we respond and welcome the liaison officer, Mr. Joe Kat, from here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if you can introduce yourself, because you came with me. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Harry Masao, DDG. And thank you, Honorable Kuduna. I think that's the first point you are making. But I just want to reassure Honorable Members that while technically we do draft regulations in the department, we have no legal authority to pass those regulations. What actually happens is that after we've done the drafting, we go through the legal process and the state law advisor who's mandated to check the various things you're worried about, that the regulations are in sync with the principal act. I don't think the person, the way the process is carried out, I don't think it's possible to actually make the House pass regulations that may be in conflict or inconsistent with the principal act, because there is a process that takes particular care of that to make sure of that. And as we have done in the past, as Madam Chair said, before the regulations are actually enacted, when we bring them here and with the state law advisor, with power advisor, to flesh out many points that may need clarification. That may need to be redone for whatever reason. I don't think, all I'm saying is that I don't think we run a danger where there could be a regulation that is not consistent with the principle. Right? As a standing principle, regulations cannot amend the act. The act and amend the regulations.
Agreed, member?
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Clause 10, subtitle and commencement. This act is called the Tobacco Product Control Amendment Act of 2008 and comes into operation on the day to be fixed by the President by court amendment to the Gazette. Members, we are behind with 15 minutes. We're supposed to start another meeting at 10, but to wrap up at 10:30. I'm now going to read a report from the committee. Report of the Select Committee on Social Services on the Tobacco Product Control Amendment Bill B7B of 2008, National Assembly, Section 76, Subsection 1, dated the 25th September 2008. The Select Committee on Social Services, having considered the subject of the Tobacco Product Control Amendment Bill B7B, 2008, National Assembly, Section 76, Subsection 1, referred to it as classified by the Joint Taking Mechanism as a Section 76 bill, report the bill with amendments. Agree? Fine. Honorable members, Honorable Sun, before you go, can you have your second? Honorable members, we have to check with you whether you'll be debating the bill or statement, and whether when is it going to be on the order paper. That will be on recess from Friday. We'll be guided by the leaf of the committee.
Chair, okay, yeah, it will be in the next term, in the week of the 20th.
Next year.
Yeah. Not on for this.
Okay. We are not going to take it to plenary this time, which is today and Thursday. When we come back sometime in October, it will be finalized in the House. Are we going to debate it or statement?
Okay.
Debate. Agree?
We'll call that
thank you very much, Mr. Senator. Thank you very much, all of you. We are going to have a 5 minute break and we'll continue with the social development meeting after 12 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Oh, what a good
Thank you.
Where are we going? My name is Malusi Ngolo from the office of the Chief Legal Advisor.
Confirm I thought last week to the main title of the game.
To provide for the basis to provide for a comprehensive national response to the combating of substance abuse, to provide for the mechanisms aimed at demand and harm reduction in relation to substance abuse through prevention, early intervention, treatment, and reintegration programs, to provide for the reintegration and establishment of treatment centers and halfway houses, to provide for the commitment of persons to and from treatment centers and for their treatment, rehabilitation, and peer development of treatment centers, to provide for the establishment of the central drug authority, and to provide for the methods connected with their work. I'm not sure, Madam Chair, whether...
Thank you very much. Honourable members, you all have this document, amendments proposed by the provinces.
Proposed amendments.
The department of leaders, because it was not in KZN on this chapter, KZN again, not in K, Mpumalanga, KZN, and so forth. Who's leading us?
Madam Chair, I hope all members have a copy of the document. I'm going to start from the first page, and I'll indicate, it's tabulated, it's got columns, and I'll indicate that this issue was raised by a particular province, and indicate what is our position with regards to that proposition from a particular province. On the first page, Madam Chair, the Northern Cape had suggested that we must insert the old act in the long title. We are saying, Madam Chair, this is not supported because it is, we should not make reference to it in the main title, but only indicate right at the end that this being, the old act is being repealed. It's not permissible in terms of the legislative draft to make reference to the bill that was repealed in the long title. I'm not sure whether I should stop or...
No, let me take one question then.
The second one related to the definition. There was a suggestion that we need to define accredited trade. We are also not supporting this proposition because when you look at the bill, it indicates clearly that accredited trade will be done in terms of the SAPA Act. So we cannot define it here because it's better defined somewhere else. And because the danger is that the SAPA Act is changed and an amendment is made to create a change, you may be seeking a totally different definition, such as the KZN also suggested that we need to insert a definition of detoxification and also national health care. We also do not support this proposition because treatment centers that provide detoxification must comply with the provisions of the National Health Act. The bill does not regulate health-related services, and therefore the bill does not and should not deal with this matter. There was also an indication that we need to have...
There is something that is important. See, when we look at responses, it says not supported. Now I'm wondering in my mind, you know, Basavati, little knowledge is very dangerous. Maybe I need to ask. Is the department now that is supposed to tell us what it wants and what does it not want? It's a question I'm asking. Somewhere it was a wrong rephrasing of English, but I'm trying to check in my mind. If it asks us to do legislation, why would I never go to the hospital?
I'm also expressing the same sentiment. I've been wondering, we now just look at here, not supported. What is supported is very good that you come out with this. Something must be done really about this, not supported.
I just wanted to make a decision. When we are preparing these things, the parliament has got a financial agency. It was just shown our view, what is the position. They say, now I'm not this was not prepared by the state law advisors. It was prepared by the department. I'm trying to explain generally. When we are sorting out technical problems in the bill, the parliament has got a finance say in whatever we are doing.
Wait for what, honorable members? Thank you. Mr. Miswana, where are you?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was dealing with the first item, which the one where it was written KZN detoxification, There was a proposal that we must insert the National Health Act to the prevention and treatment of substance abuse. I need to indicate our position, but I need to be very careful with the trade of this. But I thought that we need to, for this committee, the committee must know what our position is. And it becomes somewhat difficult if we can indicate clearly what our position is.
But what we are saying is the treatment centers, they provide for
detoxification must comply with the provisions of the National Health Act. This bill does not regulate health related services, and therefore the bill does not and should not deal with this case. There was also a suggestion that we need to have a definition of early intervention. Our view is that clause 10 sets out clearly what constitutes, clause 10.4 sets out clearly what constitutes early intervention. And the reading of that clause is indicated what you mean by early intervention. There was also a suggestion that we need to define harm reduction, and our position is that harm reduction is described under clause 3.1b. There was also a suggestion that you need to have harm reduction also defined. Our position is that the term harm reduction is used internationally and specifically for reducing the impact of substance abuse among people who are already using substances and also include treatment. Madam Chair, I thought you said it was page.
All members, anything from page one? All of them, they don't agree. Why did you say it's never? Honorable
Christina, followed by Honorable Kuhlman and Honorable Kuhlman. Not part of the last meeting, unfortunately. But I think I agree with the position of the department in their explanation. Maybe it will assist our debate and make it more informed if provinces affected that have articulated those respective positions. It can, you know, enlighten us, make us wise if they insist that the department's explanation is not adequate to cover their concerns. I think that is how we should proceed and move forward. That's my proposal. Thank you.
Yes, I have my hands first up, but you gave us the honor of which you took everything from me now.
I'm sorry for the... And that's a week of the committee, I'm expecting you. But I thought you'd be weeping at the end.
The proposal that outpatient centers or community-based services to be defined, that the difference be highlighted. Our position is that outpatient services and community-based services are defined. Both these services are provided for in the community, but outpatient services are managed for the treatment center. There was also a proposal that in the definition of substances, we should also insert inhalants. Our position is that the definition of substances is broad enough to make provision for all types of substances, including inhalants. Inclusion of this term would require inclusion of other methods of drug taking, such as intravenous drug use and specific drug types. KZN also proposed that we should add community-based services as object of the text. Now, our response is that clause 2B makes reference to this community-based services. Northern Cape and Mpumalanga, they wanted us to define the word drug. as the word drug is the more commonly used word in the language of the people. Now, Chair, our position is that in the definition of substance abuse, the word drug is also used interchangeably. Substance is used in a way which is a more inclusive word that includes different types of substances, and the term drug is also part of the definition of substance, if I've already indicated. In Mpumalanga, felt that sections 2B, section 2B and G can be combined. Our position is that the two cannot be combined because they are two different, they deal with two different matters. Firstly, 2B deals with the registration of programs and services, when 2G deals with the registration of centers. So it does not make sense to combine the literature. So I'll pause here for a moment.
Honourable member?
Chair, you know, quite an interesting phenomenon is that, this is just a comment. I once went to New York and I had a terrible headache and I wanted to buy some capsules from a chemist. And I tried to look for a chemist and nobody could help me. And I only discovered that the legislature said I must look for a drug store.
Honourable member, any comment? Can we go to the next page? Page 3. Remember point 3 on page 2. Page 3.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 3, KZN, they suggested that on floor 4B we must in fact ensure and promote.
May you record chapter?
Okay, on chapter 3. So on chapter 3, the comment comes from KZN on floor 4B. KZN is suggesting that we must in fact ensure and promote, and we agree with this proposal. That would include the word promote. I'm still on chapter 3. Mpumalanga suggested that on section 4C, we need to substitute promote for insured. They are also saying that section 4C may have still have cost implications for the public and private service center. Our position is that it may become difficult to ensure that persons will not be exploited, but you can try and promote it, that people are not exploited. On KZN plus 4E, still on chapter 3, we suggest that we must amend by substituting prevent stigmatization and remove not against, and you also agree with the proposal. Plus 4G, KZN is also proposing that you must instead recognize the special needs. We basically remove special needs and instead recognize the. Minister, let me just check my notes. Can I have a moment? Thank you, Madam Chair. On 4G, the proposal is that we need to instead recognize the people with disabilities and those with special needs. We are saying the plot refers to specifically to special, for the special needs of people with disabilities. All other categories of people are covered in the place, so we wouldn't want to single out still on the same chapter 3, plus 5, cases in Mpumalanga. They are saying the list of, on plus 5, 1, the list of partners is incomplete. The plot must refer to plus 5, 53, 2, as per the plot master plan. Now, our response is that not all the stakeholders as listed in plus 53, 2 are involved in activities related to the demand and harm reduction. And this is why we only want to include all of them. Still on chapter 3, Mpumalanga and KZN, plus 520 and figure 2. They are suggesting that we must instead psychosocial programs that address the relationship, emotions, and feelings, attitude, etc. And we also support that proposition. KZN and Mpumalanga also on plus 520 and figure 2. They say we must substitute 2. Skills. And we also agree that we choose the skills. So 5-2-0 is the 3, and this is a proposal from KZN and Mpumalanga also. We said we must accept the establishment and utilization of mutual support groups. We are saying that the clause reads the establishment of mutual support groups to enhance their self-reliance and optimal social function, and that the utilization is implied in how the clause is currently written. It wouldn't make sense to establish mutual support groups without them being utilized. KZN on plus 6.1, minimum norms and standards are also required for drug testing, especially of children. This is covered in the National Schools Act. For children at school, but not for those out of school. Drug testing should also be included as part of all the intervention, treatment, and after-care programs. Our position is that we are not in favor of this proposition, as it is not the intention of the bill to regulate drug testing. However, the bill provides for the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse. Madam Chair, I'll pause it for a moment.
On page 3, honourable member, thank you for me.
Chairman, who Mam Dilaga is not sharing the wisdom of God on that half on the, I think it's clause 4G that talks about the distinction between people with disability and the special needs. Yeah, I'm not a health expert, neither a social worker, but my simple understanding is that there's a vast difference between special needs of people and disability. Those are two distinct categories, you know. People with disability may have different, you know, special needs, né? But the Honorable Lamula may be normal, not having any form of impairment and disability, but may be, you know, having some special needs. Example, people are suffering from some other chronic diseases, for instance, which make them to be allergic, you know, to some other normal medication that cures normal people. Né? Those people are not disabled, according to me. Those people are not disabled. And you cannot clamp them together. The extent to which I can sustain, you know, sitting here until 5 o'clock without food cannot be the same with another honorable member who is diabetic. Get my point, you know? Then there's also some variations in people's preference due to health conditions on the type of food they eat and all those things. So I really want an explanation from the department that why do you conflate the two concepts, you know? Of people with disability and people with special needs. I mean, hey, a person may have a special need without any disability.
And I maintain that. That is out of social experience. From the township, from the... I was not born in a mobility school. I'm from the township. And I know that people have got variety of special needs. You know, I don't like to mention them. Some of these things are quite sensitive. And in order to be disabled, you know, that we have special needs. That's my argument. And I want anybody really for rationally and scientifically convince me otherwise on that argument. I want the department to respond on this level.
Any other point? Captain, I think Honorable Satona has said a mouthful. People with disabilities, they are classified. Really, I think special needs, they must come there. Not to be altered. It must be supported. I support him. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a proposal. Can we flag this one for now, and maybe move on to the ones that we agree, and then we can come back at the end of the meeting to finalize. Chair, thank you. Talks about section 4 is about the environment that the services are issued in,
and the environment is what's making reference to the people with special disabilities. It's got nothing to do with any of the other medical concerns that we would be dealing with elsewhere in the Act. The operative word there in the introduction is in an environment that, and that is why it's a special need for disability. The rest of the medical conditions are dealt with elsewhere. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The needs of other categories of people like youth, women, children, they've been covered in the bill. But here we are trying to give special emphasis to the needs of people with disabilities. That is what we have tried to do.
That's it.
So we agree.
Yeah,
we agree.
Thank you, page 4. Thank you, Madam Chair. The first, okay, the second one where the KZN in Mpumalanga for 6.3, we have already dealt with that one. I think on the second or the third page, that deals with the definition of accredited training. So I'm going to skip. So 8.1, KZN, that is chapter 4 now. 8.1, KZN suggesting that you must include Central Drug Authority in the entities listed there. Our position is that the Central Drug Authority is an advisor voice to the minister and not an implementing structure. And this is why we wouldn't want to include it. On clause 8.2b, and this comment also comes from KZN, they are suggesting that you must include youth as part of also children, yeah, and we are also in support of the inclusion of youth. In Mpumalanga, there is a comment on clause 9.2g, they suggest that you must include related illnesses such as cirrhosis of the liver and other pathologies such as family violence and sexual abuse. The committee in Mpumalanga was of the view that the bill cannot list all the illnesses. The worst other health condition is sufficient. So this was what the committee said. But the committee went further to say, however, the committee supports the inclusion of family violence and sexual abuse after HIV and AIDS to read as follows. HIV and AIDS, family violence, sexual abuse, and other health conditions. Now, Chair, our position is that when you read at, you look at clause 9.2g, there's reference to crime in the same clause, which would then mean that it is not necessary for us to make reference to family violence and sexual abuse because they are all crimes. And this is why we're saying there's no need for us to insert family violence and sexual abuse. KZN has a comment on clause 10J, where basically the comment was that we need to look at the financial implications of economic empowerment. And what is indicated there is that the bill has been costed and all the financial implications were taken into account. Madam Chair, moving to chapter 5, Kauteng has a comment on clause 12, 3, and 4, where they suggested that the word may after MEC should be replaced with must in both plus three and four, and we also support the proposition. Madam Chair, can we move to the last piece? While still on the same chapter five, Madam Chair, Mpumalanga and other case had comments on plus 16.1, where they were of the view that the heading for this clause may be altered to. Okay, their point was that the heading of the language does not seem to be due to the content of clause 16. And of the view that the heading could be altered to read practitioners providing community based services in order for it to be not to be confused with clause 14.2, which makes reference to any person. Although I think their reference to clause 14.2 was misplaced, we agree with their proposal, but we're setting an amendment to say registration of mental health practitioners providing community-based services, because the content of the bill deals with the registration of mental health practitioners providing community-based services. Madam Chair, I'll pause here for a moment.
Thank you very much. Honorable member, page 45.
Because here on under section 12, 3 and 4, where they say may not be obtained in March. Then for the MEC may, in consultation with the relevant provincial departments, develop an integrated provincial strategy for community-based services. I'm not sure if we really want to force provinces to do that. There's a national strategy, you know. Some provinces, they want to work in accordance with that. They may not want to have their own strategy and based on that. Why can't the people of a national strategy? That's the thing. So, do we really want to force them to do it? I mean, they might think that which is there is national level common.
Yeah, sir, my comment is on the same issue, but on a different note. I think, Jefferson, we must not test or slide into a flow that assumes South Africa is one and homogeneous. Socioeconomic conditions that may impact, you know, and necessitate whatever that his intends to heal differ from province to another. Other cultural setups also play themselves. And some provisions of the broad national policy guidelines may not be adequate to deal with some of the conditions on the ground. So I think within the context of multi-tier, you know, system of our government, we need to accept that necessity, Honorable Doro, that anything may vary at some point, to adapt your national strategic, you know, master plan to their own local conditions. But where I have a problem, Chairperson, I agree with the principle. Where I have a problem is the proposed mask, because it negates exactly what you are saying. What if the master plan in an SEC is drafted nationally? It's quite conducive, 100%, with conditions in housing and can be implementable. Né? Then it obliges the MEC mask, you know. So I thought maybe it's flexible to say, well, if it is necessary, if conditions are allowing, people cannot move with the same master plan at national level. So I will only have a problem with that proposed amendment of May this month. I think it presupposes uniformity. We may be equal, but we are not one. We are not the same. We may be equal, but we are not the same. So that would be my argument and take on that thing. Unless the department can clarify its position further on the matter. Thank you.
I'm a little confused. Maybe I need to be taken on board.
The department of government,
persons providing community-based services. In 1, the way it's written and the way the amendments are proposed, I can't really follow because I just see all mental health practitioners want to register with their approaches and their models. Provinces do it or implement this particular
cuisine or a waste comes in there, so that now they then, within their provinces, are able to provide a way in terms of how they're going to implement it. Because this particular bill is not going to be implemented or done from Messina. It's going to be done in the provinces. You know, so these are the fields where this particular institution would be. I'll go with the way this proposal marks, because it's a matter of just putting up the strategy is there and it's implemented. Because if you use May, some provinces may not do it and say, well, we're not obliged to do it, whereas some will implement it. So I'm saying let's cover that element, that even those that want to implement the national strategy will do so, those who compel to say we are implementing the national strategy, and you know what it is. But those that want to come up with something else on top of the national strategy will also do so. I'm comfortable with Mark. It's my personal view that says let's use a mask for that now. Provinces are compelled to implement this particular key once it's implemented.
The first issue
is
the May and before we back to members.
It is unrelated to the May, because the May is about whether or not the MEC
can develop. Once the MEC has decided to develop the community-based, the strategy for community-based services, then he or she must agree with any other person, stakeholder. But it does not, as it currently stands, compel the MEC to come up with a strategy. But once you say they must, then the MEC is compelled to come up with a strategy. But they are also suggesting that if you change in three, then you must also say must also in subclause four. So that the MEC is also compelled to fund. Because it doesn't help to force them to come up with a strategy, and yet they are not compelled to fund. The honorable member also made the reference to the after consultation. The after consultation actually means you can just go and speak to this person. You do not have to agree, and then you can go ahead with what you want to do. I'm not sure, Madam Chair, whether I assist, responded adequately.
Yeah, Chair, I really think must give the comment, you know, with May. Because if you check, if you change, I agree with you, but if you change it May, in three, you've got to change it in four as well. Mm-hmm. And when you change it in four, look at so many people that you've got to present. Look at all those ministers that you've got of MEC, or, you know, yeah, MEC, I think, that you've got to consult with. Now, and you're saying there must be agreement all the time. I think that's going to be problematic. We're actually tying the hands of, I think, in provinces. We wish to do the same thing. Let's bring that May. Let's bring that May, Chair, so that, I mean, provinces will be very flexible in doing some of these things. But working in accordance with the national framework. So they're compelled to work with the national framework. You see? But those provinces that you indicated that want to do something over and above the national, by all means, let them do it. And let's not force everybody into it. And especially when you are saying about the agreement all along the line, especially in four, I was seeing from there. In education, there was, I think it is, somewhere where it was supposed to be in consultation between the Minister of Education and the Minister of Labour. You see, we are dealing with the bill now. Yes. That's something. In consultation, the two. Now, that thing has never worked. Only two ministers. It has not worked, and we are changing now. We are giving each and every minister his or her own responsibility. You see? So that there is no system of inconsultation, because it can actually frustrate the whole question of service delivery. So my plea, therefore, is that let's leave it as it is here.
That's
what?
May.
Yes.
We agree. On that one.
You know, I hear what the Honorable Dola is actually saying, but at the same time, are we leaving this implementation of this deal, once it's an act, to one MEC who may not necessarily be able to, because you need all of those players to come in. Maybe, as a compromise, we can use after consultation. But now, it actually will actually compromise the second clause in terms of appropriating money, because all those other MECs must contribute to that, to make money available for the implementation of the strategy. Now, if you check very well, fourth and fifth region, where do you find more abuse of substances? It's most probably on a fourth and fifth region where our athletes are actually penalized for not having a law that the community has actually started up. You need that department for us to promote sport, clean sport. And I'm really the person wanting a mechanism where provinces are compelled to really, one, work together. I know, maybe we say, if we say after consultation, would be a better way, but the problem will be in clause, the subsequent clause, where those departments are supposed to make money available. So, I'm in such a position, maybe there's a need to find better wording that will actually ensure that provinces do it. They're not doing it as whether they want to. Now, just for example, the need fund that is available for the local municipalities for them to do certain things. And the department of sport, which is actually a need to do. Now, the MIG funds are there, they're not utilized,
people decide to apply and not to apply. And yet you find that their situation needs money and they don't. So I think there's an element where people need to be compelled to do work. For lack of a better way, I don't mean that people don't want to work, but a mechanism where now we really want to ensure that this thing is actually implemented and it's working.
Thank you very much. Take it further in the community. But we've got May and March. And looking at that time, I'm not a member, but I don't think we must be deliberate. We must add that 12 for the next meeting. And we are behind. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the Chief Director. And Ms. Geller, your late arrival was at Mule. The department. May you respond?
Madam Chair, is it all the same May and month?
Yes. We didn't respond on... Let me give the legal advice of the parliamentary and state government.
Advice of not the department. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's not the first time to see this problem, especially in this clause 12.3 and 12.4. I do agree with the Honorable Member, Mr. Dollar, that each one makes a difference, even if we say may or must in this situation. So I fully support the position that the clause must be left as it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's been covered by everybody already. If we create, let's just speak on that. That if one MEC wouldn't agree, then it's a problem. So leave it as May.
So we agree that we go back to May on the Deputy Chair. Just a second. I don't know which one I your phone indicates.
Madam Chair, if I may, the recommendation indicated in terms of clause 8.1, where it asked to include the central government authority and the response from the department. I would just like to appeal to the members to please give serious consideration to the KZN recommendation, particularly with reference to the section 56, particular F and I, subsection F and I, where the powers and the duties of the central government authority are indicated. And in order to fulfill the need of the powers and the duties of the Central Drug Authority, it should...
Which clause are you?
We're talking to the recommendation from KZN clause 8.1.
Oh.
And I'm saying, in support of what KZN is saying, if we have a look at 56 on page 30 of the Act, which deals with the powers and the duties of the Central Drug Authority, with particular reference to subsection F and I, in order for the Central Drug Authority to be able to carry out its duties, it should be included in 8.1 as well. And that is what I'm asking the Honourable Members to give consideration to. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Implementing agency of the minister. You know, they advise the minister and implement strategies that will actually ensure that this particular bill, once it's enacted, is actually implemented. So I am of the view that you cannot include the drug authority or 8-1 because they are part and parcel of the whole thing. When things go wrong, they advise the minister to say, this is what we are doing in terms of implementing this thing, this is where we are failing, and these are the causes. And the minister might review this bill once it's enacted in terms of assisting them to do their job, because they must find their way easy to unless it's really this situation can actually, but I'm not convinced to say they must be there by implications. They are implied in everything that this thing is actually doing. That's my thing.
Perhaps maybe Chair KZN can maybe just clarify this matter for us. Maybe he can assist us also.
Suggesting that you must amend the heading by substituting center base with inpatient and outpatient services, and we also agree with that proposition. On the same page, chapter 6 rather, clause 72, Gauteng is saying you must repay the lay with the must. Now, I just want to go back to the section. No,
but
so
if I agree,
that's all the name and the name. Okay. Now, 72, our view is that the intent is not to make the disestablishment of treatment centers compulsory, because when you look at law 72, it talks about the disestablishment of the treatment centers.
Now, if you say it must, you are going to have to disestablish them regardless of the circumstances. So it should be left to the discretion of the minister to decide whether or not to disestablish your treatment in them. On clause 19, the Northern Cape was saying that it's not clear whether registration should be in respect of public or private treatment centers. Now, throughout the definition, treatment center is in the bill. A treatment center includes both public and private treatment centers, so it applies to both. KZN proposed that there must be regulations to provide for a directory of all registered facilities which must be kept by the Department of Social Development, and stipulating whether such registers are to be a provincial or a national responsibility. And we're also saying this would be covered in our regulation. On clause 25, Gauteng is saying there is no prescribed way in which appeals should be processed. Now, when you go back to clause 25, you will see that it indicates that any person who is aggrieved by the decision of the Director General can appeal to the minister as the minister may prescribe. So there will be regulations to prescribe the process, the manner in which an appeal against the decision of the Director General can be channeled. KZN on clause 27 is saying it's not clear whether a manager of an outpatient treatment center may also establish a community-based service. Now, the answer to this lies in clause 14.2, which says any person may apply to the HOD for registration of a community-based service, which means even the manager of an outpatient treatment center may also apply for that service. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, the person has agreed with an amendment to substitute center base to inpatient. I'm not sure what was the meaning of center base. I mean, yeah, it's there, but you are ready to use inpatient and remove center base. What was the rationale for using the word center base, or what is it meaning?
I propose
we leave it. I think inpatient and outpatient really make distinctions between two categories of people. Outpatient does not mean this person may be out at home then, but for certain treatment he comes for there inside, but it's not confined to the center. In center is when it's confined to the center. I think it's really an emphasis of the two types of services. No, but both of them are center based, because this person, much as he's at home, he comes there, unless I'm wrong. Maybe Fidia can advise us on that. I think I agree with the department position, in accepting KZN proposal on this matter. And we must congratulate KZN for having applied their mind on this thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments?
Madam Chair, we agreed to inpatient because inpatient is defined in the bill and outpatient is not defined. Center base is not defined in the bill, but inpatient is defined. They still agree to the proposal from KZ.
Any
Thank you, Madam Chair. KZN is proposing that a clause as to the respective roles of the Department of Social Development and Health in the registration, monitoring, and assessment process of in- and outpatient treatment centers and halfway houses. We are saying we are not in support of this proposal because clause 6, read together with clause 23, provides for the minister, after consultation with the relevant ministers, to prescribe the minimum norms and standards for the treatment centers. And our view is that the minimum norms and standards will set out the roles of the different departments. Madam Chair, moving to Chapter 10, and the comments come from Gauteng in respect of Section 53.2. And the question there is that we want to clarity on what would constitute fit and proper person. Madam Chair, we suggested some amendments. It may not accurately address the question raised, but we're saying after fit and proper person, we must then say as the minister will prescribe, so that in the process of coming up with regulation, we can then sit down and look at what do we think would constitute a fit and proper person. Because when you look at the number of people that are required, it's quite a substantial number of people from different government departments. And it may not be possible in a different definition in the bill itself to cover what would constitute a fit and proper person. Still on Chapter 10, Section 56K, Gauteng recommended that we recommend, and we agree with such a proposition. On KZN on clause 57.2, they suggest that it must be amended by substituting the following: a provincial substance abuse forum must, so we replace the may or the must, consist of representatives from all, and as it stated that we agree with the proposal. On Chapter 11, Madam Chair, Gauteng has comments on clause 65.1, where they are also saying we must replace the word may with should, would, or must. Now, we are not in agreement with the proposal, Madam Chair. I'm just going to quickly go back to the clause. Now, clause 65 has got two legs, and it reads, the minister may make regulations regarding any matter which may or must be prescribed. And if I have to replace the may in 65.1 with a must, it would mean that we compel the minister to make regulations even in instances where he may make regulations. So we'd rather say where the minister has got the discretion to make regulations, let's leave it that way. And where the bill specifically compels the minister to come up with regulations, then the minister should be made compelled to make such regulations. On clause, the last one, Madam Chair, on Chapter 11, we put Malanga on as a comment on clause 66.1, and they make a reference to an incorrect citation of the bill, where we think Act number 59 instead of number 20. It's indeed correct that their citation was incorrect, and we agree with their proposal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable members, please service. Comment?
No response? Chairperson, from Speedlaw Advisors, I think there are better positions to answer this. In all government requirements in the public service and in other related bodies, the word fit and proper, in the constitution, it's going to be eligible. You're not only going to be 18, but you must be fit and proper. Right? I want to say whether there's no standard definition of fit and proper. And if not, by making your own whatever definition as a department for fit and proper, are you not going to digress from a conventionally agreed and written? No? It is that. I mean, constitution says fit and proper. Ne? Advertisement for public service commission, whatever post, ne? Fit and proper, blah, 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 blah. Ne? Of course, there are some other requirements for certain, you know, technical jobs where they say you cannot be this thing. If you have done religious studies, like Honorable Teche, you cannot be the head of this CFO, you know, because you have done religious studies. It means somebody, with accounting and all, we understand those things, but it's a proper thing to. So, if you can just say, Chairperson, maybe from civil advice, so that we test some of the department of it.
I'll just give
you an opportunity
to do this.
Yeah, I was asking Chairperson, there's no generic definition of fit and proper.
for public safety. You use this word all the time. I've never seen it defined anywhere.
Any other comments from members?
Yes, I'm looking at a couple of court cases in front of me where they speak about what private property is, not sure whether it was vague in the regulation, etc. And they're saying that it's related to the model, what is the model suitability of the proper means, the proper technical competence. So it's a combination of the two in the various different countries.
Thank you. Is it a follow-up? Just a question to the department, Chairperson. If this is what Mukesh is saying, Advocate Mukesh is saying, we should accept. I'm not sure whether it will be proper for the department to give out whatever, except to outline normal things, the kind of thing. To say, no, for you, you must have the following requirements. But you should not really attempt to define fit and proper. If you are saying you are looking at, you know, because I'm afraid that you may have, you know, many regimes of defining this thing and such, you know, stratified, you know, standard in terms of defining fit and proper. I'm comfortable with your definition, and I don't think Gauteng, unless they explain themselves, I think they are too much overboard. by trying to want to define fit and proper, what it means. They are fit and proper as legislators. They are legal advisors, fit and proper, deceit, morally, legally, she's got the requisite skills and all those things. That's proper and as we are defining it. I'm not sure what you want to do with them. According to the proposal.
Okay, advocate. Thank
you, Madam Chair. I agree with my 11th colleague. The parliamentary legal advice. If you look at this word, it's commonly, even in Attorney's Act, most of legislation, they are using this term, fit and proper. So I won't advise the department to make additions to anything in that clause, because I'm of the view that it can create a confusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yesterday, one of the principal state law advisors and myself, we just tried to find the definition for fit and proper person, and we couldn't find it in any act. But in the Cooperative Banks Act of number 40 of 2007, there was a specific section on a fit and proper person, and that specific section told you what to look for when you want to find out whether a person is a fit and proper person. And it's things like competence and soundness of judgment in a person, and previous conduct and activities, and within the previous 10 years of that person shouldn't have been found guilty of theft or fraud or that kind of thing. So it's actually a long question.
Thank you very much. That's
it. I am of the view that
fit
and proper, if the person wants to go and find it, I don't think it would be really in the good interest of creating a future that this is. I mean, fit and proper, I'm not sure whether the department may not have found it anywhere, maybe, but it's a common thing that is being used. Same with fit and proper, unless otherwise it's an improvement to the law. But I would say, if I could look it like that, I think we understand it. At least something has been said.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, we decided amongst ourselves, the principal state law advisor myself, that, you know, it would not be advisable to define fit and proper person, because a fit and proper person to one person may not be a fit and proper person to another person. So where one minister may decide I'm a certain proper person, another minister may say no, he doesn't agree. So it's a little bit dangerous to define certain proper person, because if you leave out someone, or you leave myself out, so I feel aggrieved, you think I'm not a certain proper person, I'll take you to court. So the advice from the state law advisor's office is that preferably the committee should not define certain proper person.
It looks like Gauteng doesn't have any serious objection. They're very silent to this meeting on this matter.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've got a problem. Let me check.
Thank you for that. Any other comments before closure?
We have been something also, I think, the first thing might not be okay, because it looks like that was found every other, what do you call it?
Is this the one that Ms. Kevin talked about?
Yeah, I should just tell
you. Okay, let's come up with
that. But I think it's very important, yeah, that's it.
Let's come up with that. I
am very, very sorry, Chairperson. I didn't realize that it was improper from me. I'm very sorry.
No, the man was being asked here for the Tobacco. He was never a commander. So it was thought to be a procedure. So we must be very consistent.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm just looking at clause 12, 15 on page 12. And Chair, I think this was a nomination on my part, because this clause 12, subsection 5, which is on page 12.
Mm.
It says community-based services rendered by non-governmental organizations qualify for funding from money appropriated by the provincial legislature if they comply with the registration requirements contemplated in subsection 2. Chairperson, I think it's an omission on our part. You cannot commit the department to fund anybody who's registered. It should be still at the discretion of the department, not just on compliance with registration. We have a similar situation with, for instance, ECD centers. All the services that are provided, welfare services provided, including children's homes and all the other services, must be registered. There are those that don't need, that are independent and do not necessarily need funding from government. But this implies that if you are registered, then you qualify for funding immediately. So, Chair, I was supposed to. Yeah, it implies that as soon as you're registered, then you qualify for funding. And I think we might have a problem with litigation and all kinds of things. My colleague had perhaps a proposal in terms of how we can deal with this clause. So I'll give it through you, check it.
Before that, I think we need to agree politically whether we agree with the principle that anything. I personally agree. It has been a very serious omission on our part, and we must really take a blame that we are about to pass this bill. And the NGOs that have been celebrating that run away with them. I think they've done a good work. That this clause is here. Quite wrong. Obligates government you know, to do things that it may not fulfill with the resources that it disposes. So as a matter of principle, I think we need to agree, and I agree, Chairperson. I don't know whether anybody differs to that particular view. Maybe we may agree to deal with it away completely, or if registration procedures are covered elsewhere adequately, or whatever. Let's take the advice from the department. But in principle, I agree. Thank you.
Well, of course,
Honorable
President,
Honorable
President,
yeah. Yes, Chairperson, you must really commend for really making us aware of this. I really appreciate it. And if you get a bonus, you put a few bonus now. Chairperson, maybe I know the department will propose, but if we use the word may before qualify, that will actually allow I'm becoming a lawyer. But if you say may before the word qualify, I think it will solve our problem. I agree with that, and I'm proposing something.
Can you hear what the proposal is? And we've also finalized our proposal here, but from here we're taking all these properties to the province of Sudan. So let's hear what the proposal is.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the proposal is that the clause should be community-based services rendered by non-governmental organizations, and then we said we may qualify, and the whole office will be done. Although I thought, Madam Chair, even in the current wording, for me, it was not quite considered because it's qualified. The qualification for funding is qualified by saying from money appropriated. If you've got money and it's not there, if you appropriate a certain amount of money, then it's not there. No one can
make money from the
Chairperson, this is a policy issue, and I want to agree with the madam there, Ms. Keller. You see, we must not obligate the legislature to do certain things when priorities in provinces may really not be up to set in terms of responding to the challenge. Not that we are undermining this, no? But in law, we must not put obligation on the legislation. Eh? That will put them in a serious problem, predicament of litigation. I said, it's okay, how much do you spend on defending yourself against the interest group? So we must not create problems for our legislature and our government for this. I agree with that, and please, the argument by the learned advocate from the department, and I really don't buy it. We must really do away with it. It's a serious problem.
The first time in my life that I'm going to agree with the DA, and this will be the last. I agree with the honourable member to tighten this clause. There must add me before that qualifies.
Advocate Mukesh from Colony, what do you say? So members also agree on this, supported by this party. Honourable members, we are not going to complete this bill this time. That ends Friday. Hopefully the final meeting will be on the 21st, which is from next month. And the secretariat will explain the process to the provinces. We'll take this to the provinces. I think by the 21st, everything will be in our hands as members. Let me take this opportunity to thank you. Oh, Mrs. Keller, do you want to say something? Let me take this opportunity to thank members and
department, our legal group, and it is an agenda for the next meeting at 12 o'clock. Thank you very much.
We are hungry. Yeah, but like I said. That's my session after session.
I started at 8 o'clock with the multi-party.
I started at 8 o'clock at Hello. Let's, I think with her, we're done with it. Yeah, it was supported.
Okay.
But the debate, whether it's a statement or a debate, is still going to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be done with it now. Now, next time.
Mandate from the different provinces. I see that there are special
activity, which are from KwaZulu Natal. And
Natal, yes, the great.
KwaZulu Natal.
The great.
There is a positive of the processes in the NCOC.
Always.
They are always there.
Yes.
And they don't send one person.
They send many.
They send two or more.
Three.
I don't know all the lighter knows what I mean, because they don't trust each other.
don't help for us.
Who says what? It was goofy. That's what the lighter knows. But I think the ones I want to say we are
the queen of
oh, yes. The
and in terms of input in legislation,
the great one.
KwaZulu-Natal is one of the provinces that actually considers bills in a very, very similar way. You know? They have helped.
Thank you.
In
thank
you.
Yes,
no, I'm saying they're actually the best province to no, they're the best.
Now, without question to the members, we will go to the mandate. But before we go to the mandate, I am going to allow the department to recapture so that our minds are fresh. You know? To recapture in a nutshell on both of you. Mandal Constituency, in a nutshell, this is what it means. The General and Federal Education and Training Quality Assurance Bill, Amendment Bill, this is what it says. In a very 5 minutes, kept silent. Please. Bono, you are on the floor.
Thank you.
The most important one is the National Qualification Framework Bill, and it is a continuation of what started up in the first legislation that was brought to Parliament after 1994, and that was the South African Quality Assurance Quality Act. That act has now been in the process of being repealed in this piece of legislation. But this is not to end the era and start a new era. It is a continuation of what was started, and the good work that was done by that structure will continue to exist. And in fact, that the stuff was already will also continue to exist. The important thing is to ensure that accountability line is stuck in the approach to dealing with quality assurance. This is to provide a single framework, quality framework, where there is definite authority to perform specific functions, and where it is clear that the standards that are set by the authorities will be applicable to all these institutions and will deal with the difficulties that we've experienced in the whole software process. If I can quickly then recap what was the problem. First of all, there was a huge problem as to who would be responsible, the Minister of Education or the Minister of Labour. Who will take accountability for the implementation and deal with quality in general. This will obviously have been said. It also dealt with the huge time delay in dealing with the aspect of the registration of qualification and also the modification of qualification on this qualification framework, where a lot of qualifications have been generated because of the multiplicity of standards in the body,
where there were no common standards, and where the number of qualifications led to a situation that some of the qualifications were not even used. So with this approach, it is now providing for a clear structure. In practice, we have to see that from that. First of all, the minister will provide policy and provide mandate guidelines to give structure to what is the direction going in terms of the agriculture. Secondly, SACWA will have a very important role. They continue to exist, and they will see that the first of all, the framework created by this act and the policy must be implemented, and they must also coordinate and provide additional policy in order to ensure that the framework can be fully functional. The main task will be to develop level descriptors within the 10th level of qualification, and that level descriptor will interlink with the various sub-fields towards one framework that will three sub-frameworks, and these three sub-frameworks must be interlinked. SACWA will have the responsibility not only to develop the signatures from manager, but also make sure that they are avoiding any conflict, and make sure that the various qualifications and the standards that are set to require this example are aligned with one another and working together. And then the third layer would be that of the quality council. The quality council two of the quality council will be under the authority of the Minister of Education, while the third quality council, that is the trade and occupation, will be under the responsibility of the Minister of Labour, and there is also a suggested role and responsibility determined in the piece of legislation between the Minister of Education and the Minister of Labour, but also provide a common set of functions to all the units. So therefore, the various quality councils will have the same status, the same standing, and will provide the main functions will be quality assurance of the qualifications within each specific sub-framework, but also it will have the responsibility to set the standards in order for those qualifications to be registered on the National Qualification Framework, and they must collaborate and work together with one another to take it forward as a single framework, so that the complexity, the principle of simplicity, as we call it, is so important in this piece of legislation in order to ensure that the people out there can have the information available and make sure that that interaction can take place, that whatever learning program, either in the workplace or in the institution, can be quality assured and can get the recognition. That's basically the three levels. There's a fourth level also mentioned in this book, and that is of some bodies will provide a support and assistance to the quality council in the performing of the quality assurance function. And this professional body will also play a very important role in providing the professional designation, which is a new part of the qualification framework, and which will also bring clarity as to what is the requirement that's needed for a person to actually go and enter a specific profession. So that is basically the outline of this piece of legislation. The other one, the general and further education and training policy assurance act, the so-called FEQA Act, that is just consequential. It is providing for the additional functions of the Maluti in order to perform the functions of the quality council and the amendment.
nutshell. It was in a shell, but not a nutshell. Thank you very much. I think you're actually on Ronald and Martin because you are thank you for that. So all members, we have now recaptured, you know, the flesh of what we are dealing with here today. Two bills, we covered both the bills. We are now going to go to the provinces and hear what the provinces are. All of us went to our respective provinces to brief the provinces on this bill, and it was expected that the provinces would actually follow their own processes and thereafter come back to us with negotiating mandates. I've told you about 8 negotiating mandates here. We don't have a negotiating mandate from the Free State. We will hear when it comes to the Free State as to what the reasons are for not changing the mandate. Now, we are going to follow the order that we usually follow for the mandate. The first province will be, we want to welcome, I think, the advisor, the president. The first province is the Eastern Cape. Is it okay? What's your mandate?
2 mandates. Which one first? Yeah.
Eastern Cape.
Which one are we dealing with?
We're starting with the Eastern Cape. The mandate on, I think let's start with the national qualification. So the other one is the will come to it, but the main thing, the national qualification framework.
Okay. I like them.
And to
you have a mandate, Eastern Cape?
Yes, of course, but we've got a problem of this mic.
What?
Mic.
Mic.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. The Eastern Cape Province, the committee has noted that the bill has various cross references errors and this must be corrected before the bill is adopted. The committee further resolved that the permanent delegate for the province of the Eastern Cape has been mandated to request the province in the meeting to consider the negotiating matter. Thank you, Chairperson. That's only the first thing.
Thank you very much.
No negotiating mandate at this point in time, sir.
Is there any reason why you can't get a negotiating mandate from the president?
Yeah, sir. I'm informed the meeting that I was supposed to deliver it on this could not correct.
Counting.
Chairperson, the mandate from South King is as follows. I think members will note that there are various bureaucratic things and protocols and introductions in the processes that are followed. And also, they are indicating the principle and detail of the bill. And they also highlight the overview of the public hearing. But what I was going to say, and then there are financial indicators.